God bless your heart. Would you say amen?
Amen.
If you're glad you're saved this morning, would you say amen?
Amen.
If you're glad you're a Baptist this morning, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. I like meetings like this, where we're reminded of what we are, where we came from. We're not to be ashamed of it. And I'm glad this is my crowd. I want to thank Brother Turner today for the opportunity to be here. I count it an honor and a privilege to preach God's Word anytime. And especially in another man's pulpit in a meeting like this, I count it an honor and a privilege, and it's a joy to be here this morning. One of the privileges that I have in our ministry down in Naples is I have the opportunity to lead our children's ministry. And I love working with children because they keep you on your toes. Amen? I heard about a little girl that went to Sunday school faithfully, and she had Jesus in her heart. She went to a public school. And her teacher got up one day, and the teacher was an atheist. And the teacher was teaching the kids about whales, and the teacher said, "Now, it's physically impossible for a whale to swallow a human being." And the little girl raised her hand, and she says, no, sir. She said, "My Sunday school teacher taught us that a whale swallowed Jonah." And the teacher kind of laughed at her and said, "Oh, really?" He goes, "You believe that fairy tale?" She said, "Oh, yeah, I believe that's a true story." He goes, no, it's not. She goes, "Yes, it is. It's in the Bible." He goes, "How do you know the Bible's true?" She says, "Well, I guess when I get to heaven, I'll just have to ask Jonah how it all happened." And the teacher said, "Well, what if Jonah went to hell?" And she said, "Well, I guess you're going to have to ask him." Kids have a way of keeping you on your toes. Amen. A little girl noticed her mom washing the dishes, and she noticed that her mom had a couple gray hairs standing out from her brunette head. And the little girl said to her mom, she said, "Mom, why do you have those white hairs?" So the mother kind of smirked and said, "Well, honey, every time you do something bad and cause me grief, disobey me, it causes one white hair to sprout out of my head. So that's why you ought to be a good girl." The little girl thought for a second. She says, "Mom, is that why all of Grandma's hairs are white?" Kids will keep you on your toes. We have a Christian school, and we work with kids every day in the school. And I heard about a Christian school that had a cafeteria line. And they'd set up a long line of things. And at the beginning of the line, there was a basket of apples. And one of the teachers had written a note at the beginning of the line, and it said, "Please take only one. Remember, God is watching." Down the line, there were several other goodies, and at the end of the line, there was a big plate full of chocolate chip cookies. And one of the kids had written in crayon on a napkin and laid it there by the cookies, "Take all you want. God's watching the apples." Amen. Amen. Working with kids will keep you on your toes. But it is an honor to be here this morning with you and to preach God's Word. I love this place. The Westgate Baptist Church and the Florida Baptist College, I thank God for it. I always look forward to the opportunity to be up here with Brother Turner, Brother Thompson, and others. And I pray today I can be a blessing and help to you. I want to thank Brother Walters and Brother Abbott for the messages they preached this morning. Brother Rossiter for that great testimony. Wasn't that encouraging to hear that? About a new church being planted and started. It's what we need. And I got a little bit nervous when Brother Walters announced his text out of 2 Timothy, because that's where God had led me to preach from today. But as I listened to him preach the message today, I realized how God was going to take the messages, all three of them today, and bring them together. So I want you to take your Bible with me this morning and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, just one chapter before the text Brother Walters took. And I think in some ways, I think it'd be right and safe to say that as Brother Walters preached this morning, he approached this text and this book from the perspective of the Apostle Paul as a man that has been through the storms and through the trials and is passing it on to the next generation. And I think it'd be safe to say that myself and men of my generation, we approach this text from the perspective of Timothy. And so with that in mind, I'd like for us to look together in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and starting in verse number 1. The Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I want you, if you would, to draw your attention back to chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, this beginning verse of chapter 3, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And I want to take as a title this morning, Powerful Truths for Perilous Times. Powerful Truths for Perilous Times. Would you pray with me this morning? Our Father, I love you today. I stand humbly before you this morning. I'm humbled to preach your word. I'm humbled to be on this platform today. But Father, I pray that through your Holy Spirit power, you'll speak to our hearts this morning. Make me a blessing to these men, to these people. And God, help us to leave this place with a renewed zeal and a renewed emphasis on continuing what has been given to us to do. Empower the message to speak to hearts. And we'll thank you and praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. The verse says that in the last days, perilous times shall come. I think that if you know the times today, it's very, very safe to say that in our generation, we don't have to still say perilous times shall come. I think it's safe to say this morning that perilous times have come. You don't have to look much further than the local newspaper. I've got a copy of the Naples Daily News, my hometown paper, from this last Sunday. The second front page, just read a few of the headlines to you this morning. Co-ed strangled by serial rapist. That happened in the last week in our generation. New York police arrest suspect. A therapist was slain to death in her office with a meat cleaver. That happened in our generation. Head wounds killed California boy. A 15-year-old boy was shot at his junior high school in California, Ventura, California. He later died of head wounds. That's in our generation. Suicide car bombing kills 37 at Pakistani election office. That just happened last week. Folks, perilous times have come. We live in a generation that I believe the Holy Spirit described If you look back with me here in verse 2, and as the Holy Spirit describes the last days and perilous times, the heading of it in verse 2, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." That describes the entire passage. People today love themselves. They don't know God. They don't love God because they love themselves, and their life is lived out of a self-centeredness. It goes on to say covetous, how that describes our world today. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. My, oh my, how we see that on a daily basis. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Look down at verse 13. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And I want to declare to you this morning that the times that the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul prophesied would come, I believe they have come. We face perilous times. I believe it's very possible we live in the last days. And we all agree with that. But what are we to do in the midst of perilous times? Are we to fold up our tents and quit and give up? And wait till Jesus comes? I declare to you this morning, the Bible gives us some powerful truths for perilous times. And I want you to notice a few things with me this morning. And by the way, before I get into the message, let me just say this. Perilous times do not limit God. And the God that Paul knew and he prayed to and he served and he preached of is the same God we know today. And the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob is the same God that I pray to this morning and that I serve and that I preach. And He's just as powerful in 2008 as He has ever been. And He's just as able to save sinners and to change lives as He's ever been. And there's powerful truths in perilous times. Let me just give you a few things that I believe are powerful truths for perilous times in this text. First of all, God's still sounding the battle cry. Yes, we're living in perilous times. Yes, the world around us is waxing worse and worse. But you mark it down. God's still sounding the battle cry. Look what the Holy Spirit said in verse 14 of chapter 3. He says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Mark, and mark well that word, continue. The Holy Spirit said, when perilous times come, it's time to continue in the things that thou hast learned. Boy, I tell you, Timothy had learned some things. Amen? Timothy, from a child, the Bible tells us in chapter 1, he had been taught the Holy Scriptures by a godly mother and a godly grandmother. Thank God for godly mothers and godly grandmothers. I'm glad my mother's here this morning, a godly mother, who taught me from a child the things of God, the Holy Scriptures. Timothy had been taught those things. As a man, Timothy had come in contact and his path had crossed with a man named the Apostle Paul. Boy, I tell you, Timothy, thank God for the Apostle Paul. And I thank God for some Apostle Pauls that have crossed my path. Some men that have influenced my life. Timothy had learned many things from Paul. He had traveled with him on those missionary journeys. Oh, he had learned many things in Macedonia. He had learned how a beloved church could be planted in a city called Philippi. He had seen it. He had seen the world turned upside down in Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17. He had seen souls saved and people, converts baptized and churches established in Corinth and in Ephesus. He had seen churches planted and beloved believers carrying on the work that had been passed down to them by the Apostle Paul. Timothy had learned these things, and the Apostle Paul, and in truth, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, says, Timothy, when perilous times come, continue in what you have learned. And I want to say this morning that when perilous times come, and they have come, it's not time to compromise, it's time to continue. Aren't you glad? Paul didn't say to Timothy, hey, Timothy, now look, it's going to get rough out there. The storms are going to come and the waves are going to beat on the old ship of Zion. It's going to get rough out there. And Timothy, when it gets rough, There'll be a little wiggle room there to compromise, Timothy. It'll be all right. And you do what you have to do to keep the crowds coming and keep the offerings coming in so you can get your paycheck. Aren't you glad Paul didn't say that? Aren't you glad Paul didn't say, hey, you know, Timothy, you can change the name of that church in Ephesus, you know. You can change it from the First Baptist Church of Ephesus. I said the First Baptist Church of Ephesus to the Ephesus Community Worship Center. Amen. He didn't say to do that. He didn't say to dip his sails and drop the standards and quit preaching on certain doctrines of the Bible because that might offend the brethren. Paul didn't say that. He didn't say when perilous times come, compromise. He said when perilous times come, continue. Paul said, Timothy, God's still sounding the battle cry. Don't you quit. Don't you change. You keep on keeping on with the things that you've been taught and the things you've learned from God. I'm glad he didn't say compromise. I'm glad he didn't say quit. He didn't say when perilous times come, quit. God, help us this morning. What about these churches? Thank God they're staying fundamental. They're staying right. They're keeping the book right, keeping the standards right, keeping the body right, keeping the blood right. But seems like sometimes some churches have just kind of given up. Well, you know, perilous times have come. And you know, the Bible says there'll be a great falling away in the last days. And yes, the Bible does say that. And well, you know, we just need to kind of bunker down. Just kind of hide out. Keep our doctrine right, but just kind of hide out till Jesus comes. That's not New Testament Christianity, dear friend. My Bible says, continue! Continue! God's still sounding the battle cry! I remember reading a story about the Revolutionary War. A general was watching his men, an American patriot general was watching his men defeated. They were being whipped. They were losing the battle. And the general shouted out to his bugle boy. He said, hey, bugler, sound the retreat. He waited. There was no sound of a retreat. He yelled out again, bugler, sound the retreat. The bugler was over there and he was shaking and timid and he said, general, I can't. Why can't you? He said, they never taught me how to play a retreat. He said, but they taught me to play a charge that'll make the dead rise up and fight on. The general said, play the charge. He played that charge and those weak and defeated men rose up and fought on to victory. And I want to tell you something this morning. The bugler of heaven's never been taught a retreat. You check it out in Ephesians chapter 6. The armor of God. There's nothing for the backside of the soldier because God never intended for us to turn tail and run. God never intended for us to retreat. God intended for us to attack the gates of hell. And when perilous times come, it's not time to quit. It's time to continue because God still sounding the battle cry. Get after it for God. Not only is God still sounding the battle cry, secondly, I want you to know God's still saving sinners. Perilous times have come, but God's still saving sinners. Look down in verse 15. The Bible says, and that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able. Don't miss that word, able. That speaks of ability. It speaks of power. Which are able, what? To make thee wise unto salvation. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I believe every word of God is inspired of God. Notice the word before the word able. It's the word are. Which are able. He didn't say which were able. He said which are able. Present tense. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit wanted us to remember in 2008 that just as the Scriptures were able in Timothy's day, they are able in our day. The Word of God works. The preaching of the Gospel works. Soul winning still works. Oh, wait a minute now. We're in perilous times. Listen, They're not all going to get saved. I realize that. They're not all going to listen. But in 2008, God's still saving sinners. If I didn't believe that this morning, I'd fold up my Bible, I'd fold up my tent, I'd quit it all. Go out there and try to get rich. But I don't believe that. I believe this morning that God is just as able to save sinners today as He was back 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 1,000 years ago, and 2,000 years ago. God still saving sinners. I heard Dr. Curtis Hudson many years ago. He told a story when he was pastor of the Forest Hills Baptist Church outside of Atlanta, Georgia. He told a story about going down to the grocery store one day. And he was in the cereal aisle. And he saw a man there, and the Holy Spirit impressed him to witness to the man. And so he went over and he began to witness to the man and explain to him how to be saved. And the man just kind of rejected him. And Dr. Hudson says, "Well, I feel the Holy Spirit led me." So he continued witnessing to the guy and went through the whole plan of salvation, told the man how to get saved. The man rejected it. Dr. Hudson left the grocery store kind of dejected. Didn't understand. He said, "Well, at least I tried my best." The Bible says the Word of God will not return void. The next Sunday morning, he got up, preached a sermon, and had his invitation. And a man walked down the aisle and met him at the altar. And Dr. Hudson didn't know the man. And he shook his hand, and the man said, "Dr. Hudson, I'm one of your most recent conversions." And Dr. Hudson said, "I'm sorry, sir, but you might have me mistaken with another preacher. I've never met you before." He says, "Oh, I know you've never met me before. You've never seen me before." He goes, "Do you remember a few days ago? You were at a grocery store. You were on aisle 12, the cereal aisle. And you were talking to a guy." He says, "Well, I was on aisle 13. He said, "I was on the other side of those cereal boxes. And he said, all of a sudden, I heard you talking about Jesus and about the gospel. And he said, 'Hey, Dr. Hudson, that man said no, but I said yes, and I got saved in aisle 13. Dr. Hudson said, "Hey, it still works. The Word of God still works. Preaching still works. Oh, perilous times." That's right. But God's still saving sinners. Just be faithful. Continue on. Do what God's called you to do. Listen this morning. Don't tell me it doesn't work. Don't tell me God's not still saving sinners. I preached this last Sunday morning at a church in the Miami area, the Miami-Fort Lauderdale area, a small church. And the Lord gave me an opportunity to preach there. About 30 or 35 people in that church that morning. Down there where they say it can't be done, amen? Down there in what they call for the Elam, the graveyard of fundamentalism. Miami-Fort Lauderdale area. A place filled with monuments and memories of great days of the past. Not much going on now. A few good churches down there. Brother Joel Henshaw is here this week. Got a great church down there. And I was preaching, and I preached on when the maniac met the Messiah. Just had a good time. There was a couple visiting there that morning in their 30s. A lady in the church had invited them to come. And so, when the invitation time came, I asked those who were not saved and wanted to be saved to lift their hand. Both those hands went up. John and Jenny. Invitation time came. We stood up. I began to try to figure out a way to get them to come down the aisle and be saved, but I didn't have to. When we stood up, they stepped out. They were right down here in the front. They had no idea what to do. They were just standing there. I was excited, you know. The people in the church weren't really sure what to do. They were just kind of looking around at each other, you know. And so I told the song director, I said, "You keep singing." He was singing "Just As I Am." I said, "You keep singing." I went down, I grabbed a man out of the pew, and I introduced him to John, and they got down on this side of the altar, and I got a lady, and I introduced her to Jenny, and I got them on this side of the altar. And I went back up on the platform, and we sang 10 stanzas of "Just As I Am" without one plea. And those people led those sweet people to Christ. Tears on the altar. Oh, listen, tears flowing after the service. That church all excited. I thought, wow, this is great. Praise the Lord. After the service, the man that I had used to lead John to the Lord, he came over to me and said, "I'm sorry that I didn't react real quick." He said, "You see, Brother Odom, it's been about 5 years since we've had somebody walk the aisle and get saved in our church. God's still saving sinners." Listen, I'll tell you that story to brag on me this morning, because it was nothing of me. It was the Word of God. It was the Gospel of Christ. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that can still save sinners. And this morning, we have powerful truths for perilous times. God's still sounding the battle cry. God's still saving sinners. But I want you to know this morning, I believe God is still stirring young men to preach the Gospel. I want you to look down at chapter 4. We've gone over this morning already. But chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." You know, I'm glad as a young preacher that verse was given to a young preacher. Amen. Oh, listen, I thank God for the elder preachers that have touched my life. But I'm glad that God can use a young preacher to preach His Word. As unworthy as we are, we've been told to preach the Word. Preach the Word. God's still stirring young men to preach His Word. I grew up in a pastor's home, as Brother Turner told you. My dad's been in Florida for 120 years, came over on the ark, you know. Really, he's been pastor at Seagate down in Naples for over 37 years. I'm 31 years old, so I was born there and reared there, still there. When I was 12 years old, we were at the church one night, one evening. School was over, and we stayed there late into the evening, as we did many nights. And so I was just kind of wandering around in the offices and just kind of exploring around. And I found inside of this closet, I found a case, a metal case, a tape case. And there were sermon tapes all inside this case. I was 12 years old. I began to open these drawers and I began to look at these sermon tapes and I began to see names. Some of these names I had heard of, some I had no idea who they were. I saw names like Lee Robertson, Lester Roloff, Jack Hiles, Oliver B. Green, Tom Malone, Curtis Hudson. And I began to think to myself, I wonder who these guys are. So I took one out and I went to my dad. I said, "Hey, Dad," I said, "would you mind if I take some of these home and listen to them?" See, up to that point, I've been listening to Patch the Pirate in bed at night. I want you to know, it was a good day when I moved from Patch the Pirate to Hiles, Malone, and Robertson, let me tell you. I said, "Dad, could I listen to some of these preaching tapes? Could I take them home?" He said, "Well," he said, "I guess so, but if you take them, you got to make sure I get them back. I want to stand to testify. I'm 31 years old." He still hasn't gotten them back. Amen. He said, "Sure." So I got a handful of those tapes, and I started taking them home, and I started listening to those preachers preaching in the old paths, preaching the old doctrines, preaching the Bible. I remember many, many, many nights listening to Lee Robertson preach on faithfulness, Lester Roloff, Paul and In the Valley. I love that one. He also had another one he preached, The Mule Walked On. 12 years old, 13 years old, starting to get this in my soul, you know. Listen to Dr. Hiles preach Fresh Oil. Oliver B. Green preach on revival. John R. Rice preach on prayer. Curtis Hudson preach on soul winning. And I'd lay there in my bed at night, 12, 13, 14 years old. And I'd listen to these men preach God's Word and God's power. And something started to stir on the inside of me, Brother Abbott. The fire of God began to touch my heart. And the fire that that Jeremiah had that was shut up in his bones, and he was weary with forbearing and he could not stay, that same fire started burning in my heart as a boy. And that fire that the Apostle Paul had, and the fire that stirred up in Timothy when they laid hands on him, that been passed down from generation to generation, it began to touch my heart. And I thank God that fire still burns in my soul this morning. And I don't ever want it to burn out. Oh, when I was young, they said, oh, just calm down, Brother Tommy. You'll get over it. Hey, listen, I hope I never get over it. Amen. I like watching these 60, 70, 75-year-old men. They are still not over it. Amen. That's the kind of preacher I want to be. That fire began to burn in my heart. And I began to sit there, lay there and think, you know, I think I'd like to do that. And a desire began to come into my life. The call to preach is seated in a desire to preach. And God began to work out circumstances in my life. And eventually, after a few years, I finally surrendered to the call to preach in my life. And I want you to know this morning that I believe that God's still stirring young men to preach His Word. Preach the Word! The instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. Young men in this room this morning, you listen to me well. We need you this morning. We live in perilous times. We live in the last days. We live in a time where men are waxing worse and worse, and men are deceived and being deceived, and we need gospel preachers more than we've ever needed them before. And I challenge some young men this morning to rise up and say, God Almighty could use my life, and I'll give my life to God. And young man, if God's calling you to preach, stop resisting it, stop fighting it, and give in to it. Young man, light a match to your dreams this morning. Give up your ambitions. Give up your desires. Put your life in the hand of a mighty God and let God use you. We need you this morning. We need soul-winning preachers. We need soul-winning laymen. We need church planters. We need men to go out to the mission field and to take the gospel message all around this globe. Listen this morning. People say, oh, we're in perilous times. We just need to bunker down and wait till Jesus. Oh, no, listen, folks. Yes, we live in perilous times. So much the more we must get the job done for God. God, raise up some young men who will be stirred in their soul, stirred in their heart to do what God Almighty has called them to do. Perilous times. Yes. But wait a minute. I've got some powerful truths from God in the midst of these perilous times. God's still sounding the battle cry. Amen. God's still saving sinners. And God's still stirring young men.